Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hey, good evening, good day to you for Wednesday, July 30th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, good evening. Glad to be here. Today is a positive show. It's a positive show.
We're going to be talking about positive consciousness.
That's right.
Tonight. So anyway, Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we also have a couple of schools. The Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, IMHS, offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. You can find it at metaphysicsinstitute.org. We also have ICHS, which offers individual courses and certification programs. You can find it at ICHSworld.org. We are going to do our professional beliefs as we always do. Healthiest belief system on the planet, if you ask me, and even if you don't.
Me too.
Good.
Yes, me too. I'd say the same thing.
And even if you don't.
That's right.
It's still the healthiest thing. So let's go over these. The spiritual philosophy of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism is based upon 9 principles of belief, which are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both the physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles of belief, as well as the International Society, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so we would like to welcome our live listeners tonight. Glad you could join us. We also welcome those who are listening to the archives. Glad you could join us as well. And if you have a comment, then tonight you'd like to call in and talk about, then you get to talk to Michael Kelly, who is helping us behind the scenes. Welcome, Michael. Your cue.
Glad to be here tonight. I'm really looking forward to tonight's show. It sounds like a fascinating topic. And we always welcome discussion here. So if anybody has a question or a topic they'd like to share with the hosts, just call in at 714-459-3973.
And we also have a special announcement.
Drum roll.
I need a drum roll. You know, I don't have a drum roll.
We got to get one.
I got a bell somewhere here. How about this one?
No, it's got to be a drum.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Anyway, just like to say again to my son, Michael Kelly, happy birthday, 28.
Yay, happy birthday, Michael.
I left you mic hot just so you could respond. It's hot again.
I feel so
happy
old.
Birthday, Michael.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Oh.
It was a
well, you're
already
past the quarter century.
Yeah, I know. Scary thought. Quarter I'm almost century. 30. It's almost over.
Where have I been?
Oh, God, listen to this.
The youngins, they're always so funny. All right,
So
we'll be celebrating more this coming Friday, too. So.
Congratulations.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about positive consciousness, and that has something to do with positivity. I see we have some guests in our chat room. Thanks for joining us there, and if you've got any questions, happy to entertain those. I'm just looking at the comments.
Well, we have Dr. Philip Menyuk is with us. He said he'd traveled to South Sudan and didn't have any internet, but he's back. That's great. So, you know, again, to tell everybody, we have people who are from all over the world, who travel the world. It's very exciting to meet some really interesting, cool people.
Yeah. Gosh, I think it's over 45 countries now.
Wow.
Hundreds of students, and it's so good to have such a variety, so many different personalities, so many different backgrounds. It really is. It's diverse, and that's a good thing. This goes right in hand with what we preach, so to speak. So anyway, let's talk about positive consciousness and what the difference is between it and just being positive. I mean, positive.
Like a positive attitude.
Well, yeah, positive attitude is good and it's part of positive consciousness, but it's not descriptive of the whole thing. So let me just give some background comments here, and I'm going to read from some of the information in course M4, MHS M4 at metaphysicsinstitute.org. It's one of the master's courses on the art of success, and this segment is on positive consciousness. So basically, here's the description. By practicing positive thinking in our everyday life, we evolve toward a higher state of enlightenment I call positive consciousness. Having a positive consciousness actually transcends positive thinking because in our heart of hearts, our natural inclination is to be positive without the effort. This means that even in our private self-talk, we have a naturally positive bent. It means that we don't have to filter out negativities because they're simply not there. It means that we harbor no ill will toward others. It means being at peace with ourselves because we're generally and reasonably negativity-free. In short, it means to be driven by positivity, driven by positivity. It doesn't mean, of course, that we are passive in nature and therefore allow others to just walk all over us. So the big question is, you know, is this doable? You know, is having a positive consciousness something we can as humans attain? And I believe that we can. I live with one. You know, my wife Tracy, she's always been characterized by this positive consciousness. It's how she's wired. It's been an interesting thing to observe over the last 15, 16 years. Just, you know, she's always got the positive bent to things, but it's not like she has to fight it or change or really, it's not a challenge for her. It's just who she is. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to positive consciousness. She made a decision when she was a little girl that she was not going to be ruled by the negativity of certain family members, namely her father. And it just hardwired into her. So every time there's a challenge in life, she always naturally, without even thinking, brings up the positives. You know, makes you want to strangle her at times. But she does so good at it.
You know, this is a really powerful, a whole number of powerful points that you just brought up here, Doug, because it's a matter of how we think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we thinking positive? Like if we have a negative, you know, if we're always being negative and thinking the worst, but we're trying to be positive, that's kind of like a negative positive, and that's not consciousness being a positive consciousness. Does that make sense? So it's like
mm-hmm.
how we think. It's like that when you talk about that private self-talk,
mm-hmm.
I think that that's really important. I have encountered a lot of things in my life which say, I don't think that way. But I've had to learn to observe how some people do think and how they behave. But it's just not my natural bent to do that.
Right.
We get it. So it's my mind goes in a different direction. But to be wise and to be sensible and observant, you know, it's okay. I have to get it that other people do that. But I don't think that way. So it is about, I would say it's kind of like cleaning it up, you know, like cleaning up our thoughts. Is that makes sense.
It is. And, you know, I mean, how do you do this? How do you become or acquire this positive consciousness? Well, it's not that hard, honestly, and we'll talk more about it, but I'm going to get cut to the chase. How do you fix it? How do you acquire it? You just do it. You decide you're going to be that way. And when you get the negative thoughts, oh, it's going to take a little time. You get in the habit of it. You know, you get a negative thought, you basically tell yourself, cancel, cancel, and you replace it with a positive thought. The fact of the matter is, folks, that the world we live in throws us challenges, throws us curveballs, so to speak. We're going to have that stuff, you know, that smelly stuff hit us. It just is what it is, you know. It's not like I'm going to say that it's not going to happen. It happens to everybody. The big difference is it is what it is. And so you have a choice. You can either fight what is, and be negative and come on, well, that's never going to work. Nothing ever good happens to me, yada, yada, yada. You can fight it, or you can just say, well, that's the way of the world. However, I'm not going to let it beat me. There's always a silver lining. There's always a positive outlook. There's always a positive side to it. When one door closes, another door opens. And so you've got to look for the doors.
You mean that lesson learning stuff?
Yeah, you got to learn a lesson. Learn a spiritual lesson.
I know there's a lesson in here somewhere.
And it's usually a spiritual lesson. And we can say, yeah, you know, what is it? And you'll probably spend time trying to figure out what it is. Why does this stuff keep happening to me? Well, there's a reason for it. It's called the law of attraction. It's called energy signatures. We attract what we are. And we attract that the same frequencies that we vibrate on. It's the vibe that we all have. This is not foo-foo stuff. We all have a vibe. We all have an energy about us. Some people are positive. Some people are negative. I mean, we see it in everyday life. So it's grounded stuff here. What's our energy signature like? Are we positive? You know, do we have a positive bent? You know, some people are characterized by different things. Some people are characterized by their generosity and their kindness. Some are characterized by their positivity. Some by their negativity. Some by their pessimism. Some by whatever. What are you as a listener characterized by?
But there is a collective consciousness too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're born into an impoverished situation and everybody's in poverty and everybody's hungry, you can't just like wish a positive thought and poof, there's food. Well, some people think you can. But so we have to kind of put a reality spin on here too, that we aren't defined by our circumstance, but we're defined by our consciousness within a circumstance.
And how we handle that circumstance.
I think so. I think that's really important to kind of isolate and bring out here, because the law of attraction would say, yes, you know, we get back what we put out. We are a mirror of our reality, but goes to a collective level also. You know, if you're born into a really whacked out family, for instance, mm-hmm. you can decide to leave that. But if you're like living in a really violent country, that's all that's going on. I mean, there has to be hope that drives people into a more positive consciousness.
Right. And so it would be a mistake to think, well, gee, I live where I do in this violence, whether it's a country or home, because I attracted it somehow. You know, and kids will do that. Well, there must be something wrong with me. I'm the reason mommy and daddy are getting divorced, or I'm the reason they're fighting. And that's not, as a kid, I'm sorry, that just doesn't apply. You have to be an adult. We're dealing with adults here, and we're addressing adult issues here. This is not for kids. Kids are pretty much the only victims there are in most cases. There's always exceptions to the rule, but children are the victims because they don't have the free will. They don't have the power to change until they become adults. So we're addressing adults here. So just because you're in a poor set of circumstances, don't beat yourself up thinking, okay, what did I do to deserve this? We all probably often ask that. You might not have done something. It might just be other circumstances, collective consciousness. It might be just the way things happen, blind chance, things like that. So we've got to look at this in perspective. But generally speaking in life, we attract to us what we are, similar harmonic energy signatures or frequencies. We attract that. And this is especially true in relationships. We've talked about this a lot on past shows.
Which can be really subtle, really subtle things.
Oh, and you can slip into codependent behavior. You might have already been codependent. You worked yourself out of it and got past it, and then you have a real good friend or something, and then just so ever so subtly, you're kind of maneuvered back into a codependent relationship with somebody, and it can, you know, get you while you're not even looking. But once you realize it, then you can make the changes.
You know, I want to say, just if I can insert this too, I recently had a discussion with a young woman who was really beating herself up for not being good in relationships. And I said, well, I actually think you are. I just think you don't pick them very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the truth, you know.
Yeah, so if we're picking by what we're familiar with, because that's our frame for reference, that in and of itself is the learning.
And that's such a key point. You know, I can't emphasize that enough. We've mentioned it many times. If you're in a set of circumstances that you don't like, look for the spiritual lesson contained in those circumstances. And once you learn it, that means when we learn something, we change. Once you learn it, those circumstances will evaporate. They will pass. Give them a little time. They will pass. And then you'll have other life lessons to learn and other circumstances. People wonder why they go from one bad relationship to another. It's real simple. They haven't worked on themselves. They haven't changed their energy signature because their core values are still unhealthy. Their attitudes, their approach to life is still unhealthy. So they're basically attracting what they are. You know, you want your outside world to change, you change your inside world first.
Or the expectations are just low.
Well, that's true, too, with a lot
that's
of people.
That's a frequency in and of itself.
Well, it is. It all goes into that unhealthy energy signature. And it's honestly part of negativity. Having a poor self-concept, a poor self-opinion is negativity. People with that kind of thing, you hear them saying things like, I can't, or that can't work, that can't be done. On the other hand, you're not going to hear an optimist say, I can't. They might say, I won't. Because they are making a conscious choice, not just reacting. They might decide, no, I'm not going to do that, rather than I can't do that. So there's used to different cases. But, you know, the negative people, I can't do that. I mean, you know, and I hear that in coaching sessions and I have for years. People always tell me all the reasons why they can't do something. And I tell them point blank, look, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do it. I want to hear all the reasons why you can do it. That gets them thinking. All right. Another aspect to positive consciousness and negativity is the what-if disorder. It can be a disorder. It might not be. Depends on how you use it. You know, what if? What if this happens? Pessimists, negative people, have an unhealthy case of this what-ifs. You know, what if something bad happens? What if I lose my job? What if, you know, what if Obama turns out to be, you know, a Muslim and takes over the country. I mean, there's so many stupid things out there that people are worried about that it's beyond belief. And then you've got the optimists who are more positive with a healthy case of the what-ifs. Well, what if nothing bad happens? What if everything comes out fine? They tend to focus on what they really want, not on what might happen to them. And we've got all these people out there who are all worried about the world. The world's going to hell. You know, everything's, no, it's not. The world's actually getting a little better, you know, honestly. If you've been around for a few decades, the world's getting better. Think about the 60s with civil rights in the U.S. Think about all the crap we've been through with civil rights over the last 50 years or longer. You know, it's, we're making progress here, folks. We've got a few religious nuts over in the Middle East who can't get along. Well, what's new? It's the same old stuff. Yeah. Been happening for forever. But we're getting better. Things are slowly getting better.
Well, I think that there's an economic field that people are looking at. There's an imbalance in the power structures. There's a lot of things. But I think what you're saying, Doug, is that we have access to more education. Mm-hmm. We have access to more knowledge. And we have access to more empowerment
mm-hmm.
that we didn't have in the same way, let's say, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's
not
some,
even
then. You know, there's some really bad crap going on out there, absolutely. That is not new in the structure of humanity, I'm
no.
afraid.
No.
And it's somebody's always vying for power and somebody's always getting hurt. But I think with the onset of the Internet, we have access to one another. We have access to knowledge and different venues for our own power and to exercise our own expression and to join up and link up with other people who are of the same kind of psyche and consciousness. We didn't have that so much. So I think that's kind of the spin that you're taking here, and just to be, you know, clear for people who are listening.
Absolutely. And we also have access to more information and more news of what's going on the other side of the planet. That's been this way for many decades now. But even with the Internet, we have faster access to it. We have more pictures, more videos, and on and on. So we can't look at the world and say that it's just all bad, because it's not all bad. I mean, gosh, there are so many billions of people that are not involved in killing each other on this planet, that are going about their business. And many, many, many of them are trying to make a positive difference. Many of them do good things. You know, we only hear about the minor few. I mean, think about school. You know, there was always the class, whatever, bully clown, the kid who acted out, right? And all get all the attention. It's just negative attention. And so it's the ones who are the loudest that get the most attention, and they're comparatively few compared to the rest of the world. So there's not a valid basis to feel negative about the world. It's just moving forward. And we as a human race are slowly evolving. We're getting better. We have these tools. And
that's the goal.
And it is. And we need that hope, and we have to latch on to that hope. And I'm going to throw in here, I mean, I teach that when it comes UFOs, ufology, aliens, and all that. Are they here? Well, I think so. It appears to be so. So you can't explain some of these things, folks. And so many people are worried, oh, wow, we've sent out our messages for the last 100 years. Now they know we're here, and they're going to come and take us over. Wrong answer. Here's the logic of it. And a lot of people think I am naive with this, and perhaps I am, but you know what? It's positive. It makes sense. It's logical. So I'm going to go with it, even if I am naive. But here's the deal. Here's the approach. The fact is that you can't travel through space faster than the speed of light very easily. Can it be done? Oh, anything can be done. You know, the people who say you can't travel faster than the speed of light, just they're narrow-minded. It can be done. It is being done, okay, by aliens. They have to. I mean, come on. Anything can be done. However, in order to do that, you got to be pretty darn advanced, and you have to pass some milestones in your civilization's advancement. Number one, you have to make sure you don't kill each other, annihilate each other. So these aliens who are visiting, that are out there, have obviously gotten past that one. They haven't killed themselves off, and I think we're past that one too. And so by the time they figure out how to do all this advanced stuff, they must necessarily have advanced spiritually, meaning they have figured out do no harm, not to go and take over planets and all that stuff. Now, is that naive? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it makes sense, because otherwise we'd have been done taking over by now. The fact is it's positive. It's hopeful. And we have to take that same attitude and apply it to our life. Maybe we're in a poor set of circumstances right now. It will change. Hang in there. Do not lose hope. Do not lose heart, because once you lose hope, that's obviously the definition of hopeless. And when we become hopeless, that's it. It's over. Don't go there. That's a bad place to go.
Yeah, I have to inject this. There are some people who actually believe that aliens are running the planet and are actually in control of the few people who have own all the money on the planet. And you know, I don't know what the point is. then what's the point?
There is no point to it. The fact is that humanity, that look, the aliens are keeping their distance because they don't want to get close to us. Look at us. We, you know, as a race or as a species, we're killing each other and not taking care of the children and the hungry and the homeless as a species. Doesn't mean there's not a lot of good people out there trying, but that's essentially what's going on right now, the powers that be. Well,
so our focus would be positive consciousness. If we have, and that projecting of positive consciousness. Look, if we can project negative and achieve negative, we can project positive and achieve negative. Achieve positive at the same time.
Right.
So it's what we want to. Maybe we are naive in some ways. I like to think that I'm pretty well educated, but I still choose to believe that we have potential and that I want to live in that potential. That's what I choose for myself. That's what I choose to do in my work, and I choose to do that in my life, in my daily life. It's I choose that positive consciousness. I will acknowledge the negative, but I always send it white lights. That's my trademark, to send white lights, white consciousness to that energy to support people when they are in difficult times, because that is part of the human condition, that we do encounter adversity. Adversity makes us learn and grow, but we can have a particular attitude about it.
Mm-hmm. A couple of quotes. Sidney J. Harris said, "A cynic is not merely one who reads bitter lessons from the past. He is one who is prematurely disappointed in the future." And Peggy Noonan said, "Cynicism is not realistic and tough. It's unrealistic and kind of cowardly, because it means you don't have to try." And so the people who choose to be positive and optimistic are putting their best foot forward. They have this positive consciousness. They are just moved that way. They refuse to buy into all the negativity. And you're going to find a lot of them not even watching the news, because it's just a downer. It's just negative energy all the time. It's just negative. And they're not going to expose themselves. You know what the old computer thing is? Garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. I'm just looking through some of the notes. Go ahead.
So it is really about positive consciousness begins with cleaning up our own thoughts as an individual,
mm-hmm.
and what we choose to focus on. And it doesn't mean feeling guilty either. It's just to know that you're an evolving human being. I've had to do it myself, you know. It's like confront my dark side, the anger, the frustration, mm-hmm. you know, and all those little things that can really get in the way that we trip over. I tripped over a lot, you know, or I'd feel, and there's some things I still work through as far as, ooh, when I think about that from, you know, how many years ago, it just conjures up a little bitter thought, you know, a bitter taste in my mouth. And then working on it, you know, you keep working on it, because it's what point do you see the world from as your core, as opposed to the negative being the core? So that positive consciousness is what core do you come from? And if you want to keep cleaning yourself up, you know that you're coming from a good place.
And I think it bears mentioning, too, expanding on the fact that, yes, we all have our challenges in terms of positive thinking, but we don't want to give the impression that these folks with positive consciousness kind of go around all day, you know, in this in this illusion-based world. Oh, everything's good, you know, and all that, and they're completely ignorant to reality. That's not true. They are grounded. They understand that there are problems in the world. They just are not marked by a negativity toward life. They look for the good. It's just the way it is. I'd like to read a quote to you from James Allen in his book, As a Man Thinketh. He wrote, "A man's mind may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind." So it's a matter of what you feed your mind, the kind of thoughts, the kind of attitude that you feed it. And, I mean, here's another quote. Somebody once said, do you wake up in the morning, jump out of bed and say, "Good morning, Lord," or do you drag yourself from the bed muttering, "Good Lord, it's morning"? You know,
well,
kind of.
I say, "Oh, I'm still here."
Yeah, well, that's kind of the last one. You
well,
shouldn't
no,
be on this show. What's wrong?
And then I say, "Well, I wonder what today is going to bring." You know, right. "Oh, I'm still here." It's like, you know, I think that it's really important when you talk about, you know, feeding a garden and, you know, cultivating your garden. It's, you know, you're going to have some weeds. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. I think the positive consciousness allows you to look for solutions. And I think that's really a key to this, too, is that when you're feeding your mind, but you're also looking for options. You're looking for other things you haven't thought of before. It's like, how can I tackle this part of the garden? And how can I, oh, gee, I'm at war with a vole that just keeps eating my carrots, you know? And I mean, there's always going to be these other little challenges. So it's being a solutions-driven individual mind, not just, you know, that fluffy, mm-hmm. positive kind of thing. So, I, you know, options for solutions, and that keeps your mind open and thinking.
Viktor Frankl, who wrote his seminal work, Man's Search for Meaning, wrote, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." And this is a man who went through the concentration camp, lost his wife, lost his daughter, lost his manuscript for logotherapy, which is what he taught and wrote about in the book Man's Search for Meaning. A great book. You ought to read it if you haven't. I'm talking to the general public out there. It's available in bookstores or online. I'm sure you can get it on Kindle, whatever. But and it's he makes some great points, but he's right. Even concentration camp inmates or people being held captive could still choose their own attitude regardless of what happens to you. This is true for us. You know, don't let your behavior or other people's behavior dictate your behavior. Be who you are, first and foremost, for you. And then it will just be good for other people. But if you are who you are, first and foremost, for you, that's all that matters. That's choosing your own path, being your own way. And part of that is to be driven by a positive consciousness, hopefulness. We can make a difference. Is it slow going? Yes, it is sometimes. Is it tough? Yes, it is sometimes. But that doesn't mean we lose hope. We don't lose optimism. We may be frustrated at times, but that doesn't mean we're not optimistic about the future. We're not oblivious to the realities of life. We're also not oblivious to the potential of the future. Think about that one.
You know, I once asked a fellow who had spent 10 years in a Cambodian camp, a prisoner of war camp, I asked him how he managed to survive it, because he just seemed so intact. You know, he was a kind man, you know, there's something really solid in that piece of him, and he puzzled me. This was many years ago. So, you know, how did he, of course, there was a little bit of a language barrier, too, and articulating the questions and answers, and how do you survive that? How do you come out of that in the manner you have? And he said it was hope. Somebody would smuggle in a newspaper article, like cut out a little tiny square with some printing on it, and they knew that there was a life out there. It's that over there is another world. Over there is something to work toward. And they felt connected to that hope that was over there. And for years, I mean, it was terrible circumstances, but they kind of embraced, as I understood him, he embraced the suffering that wasn't the focus. The hope was the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a camaraderie in that suffering. There was a humanity in their connection with each other in their suffering. Now, the circumstances obviously were brutal, but they could find that place together and then look at the world beyond. And, you know, and he did come out. 10 years is a really long time. I mean, I think 10 minutes is a long time, mm-hmm. but, you know, that 10 years. And his wife and children were now in Canada. The fact that he could actually, his wife would sponsor him to come over. But his whole, you know, it was very cold. He was on his way to work, and all he had was these little thin shoes, so people would get him boots. He didn't think that he could, you know, ask for somebody to buy him boots, because suffering took on a whole new meaning to him. It's you just make do with what you have without shortchanging anybody else. So he had a very different view of life and the world, and a very kind, generous man. So there was a whole different learning, and I learned tons from that man. Just in our, I had many conversations with him, but that one conversation in particular, I could see it through his eyes for a second, and it struck my spirit. And, you know, you hold on to those moments when you share them with people.
Good story. You know, and we have students who have amazing stories, you know, who grew up in other countries in Africa, child soldiers, helping, going back as adults now and helping the people there, helping the kids. You know, we have students with amazing stories and who have that positive consciousness and who want to make a difference in the world. And that is so amazing to be able to see that, to be able to interact with these students, with these graduates. And I wish them the best of success and to continue in that line, because they are a force for good. They are part of the solution, not part of the problem. And that's another cliche perhaps, but it's simple reality. Are you part of the problem or part of the solution? That's what you need to decide about who you are and what you're doing. I was just reading a thought here by, let's see if I can find it, Charles Kettering. He said, "I'm not interested in the past. I'm interested only in the future, for that is where I expect to spend the rest of my life." You know, simple. So we get let the past go. We don't, you know, live today looking to the future with one foot in the past. It is what it is. You made some blunders. Welcome to the club. We all have. You know, we learn the lesson. We put it into practice. We move forward. We make amends if necessary, but we move forward guilt-free, and we continue to be part of those solutions and trying to do the right thing, to do no harm, to do right, and to make it a positive difference.
You know, acknowledgement and validation can go a long way to healing the past. And I think that's most of the time what all of us want, is some kind of an acknowledgement that we're here and that we are valued and we can make a contribution, not to be, you know, sloughed off or, you know, it's so in the course of our day to acknowledge other people as much as we would like acknowledgement ourselves. And sometimes a smile will do it.
It will. So we've been talking about positive consciousness. Basically, it's a bent toward always seeing the positive in events and circumstances, not being oblivious to the realities of life, but holding that hope and letting that come inside of us and modifying in a healthy way our own energy signature, the vibe that we give off. And so that's what we're trying to say here. Go beyond just positive thinking. Let it rule your life. Let it motivate you. Look for the good. The people that frustrate you, you know what? They don't know any better. They just need to grow in awareness like we all do. We all have that. We all don't know any better in some aspect of life. So we keep building each other up. We keep tolerating. We keep allowing people to be who they are and walk their own path and not try to control them. These are all parts of being positive and having that positive consciousness. We appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight. We do have an announcement. We're going to take August off from the radio program. We will return the first Wednesday in September. That would be, and we'll get it real quickly here, that would be Wednesday, September 3rd. And we'll have another show. We just need a little time to regroup, and we'll be back. We appreciate everyone who takes time to listen to the live program, as well as those listening to the archives. We know that you could spend your time elsewhere. We appreciate you spending it with us. Please let others know if you've got topics you want to hear about. You know, we're here. Let us know. I mean, we search for topics that we can talk about that will have an impact in a positive way on people's lives. And you know, we've done, gosh, I don't know how many shows, 150 shows or so. And it's a challenge to come up with topics that people want to hear about. So if you have one, let us know by all means. So that's all I got. Until next week, or I guess next month in September, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night. Have a good week.
Good night.